Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Amen. This is our day, and it's such a great topic for Father's Day. We're going to talk about the what I've entitled the apostolic discipline of prayer and fasting. You can't do fasting without prayer. Otherwise, you're just doing intermittent fasting or another type of diet. And so fasting combined with prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can do as apostolic Christians, apostolic believers. And so that's what we're going to get into. Let's pray real quick for the Spirit of the Lord to be with us in this short amount of time. Jesus' name, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to get together, to learn from your word, and to get more knowledge and more wisdom and understanding of what you have given us and the concepts and the principles of prayer and fasting and of other disciplines in the apostolic faith. We thank you for it, Jesus. Move in this place today, and we know you shall in Jesus' name. So when I say fasting today, what I mean is prayer and fasting. So the focus thought is the discipline of fasting has the potential to help deepen and strengthen a believer's walk with God. Focus verse being, and when Acts 13:3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them on their way. Before the Republican primaries, Glenn Beck, he's a conservative radio host, used to be with Fox News, he stepped up and he called America to fast and repent. He immediately received criticism for this call to fast, but instead of caving into the pressure he was put under, he stepped up and said, "I own my comments and actions and encourage others to do the same. Prayer, fasting, and asking for a humbling of ourselves and nation. I pray and fast not for," at the time he was hoping for Ted Cruz, "to win, but for God's will to be done and that our will and wants will align with his." In a nutshell, Glenn described why we as apostolic believers need and believe in prayer and fasting. It's about us. It's about us putting aside what we want and seeking after his will for our lives and asking for his perfect will to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven in any given situation. Also, this past year in 2016, Bishop Chester Wright, he's the district superintendent of Maryland in the UPCI district, and bishop of the Antioch Church in Annapolis, Maryland, he felt God calling him to call our movement into a solemn assembly. From Joel 2:15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly." He felt this in early in 2016, February or March, and so he did a series of teachings on prayer and using the Lord's Prayer as an outline and how to pray that in an apostolic manner and fashion. And so he taught that up until September. And in September, he called the apostolic movement and all the churches that would join into 21 days of prayer and fasting and humbling ourselves before God. And he left it up to the churches to determine how they would fast and, you know, what their fast would consist of. But he called this movement to do that. And then immediately following that, there was a week-long time of prayer where he had arranged for 24 hours a day for 7 days for people in this apostolic movement to be praying. And there was three-hour sections of time. And his sections of time were videotaped. And so then how that would work, like Brother Farmer's Church followed that program, and so they would tune in to when he had done his three-hour time of prayer, and they would follow along in their three-hour time of prayer, and it worked 24 hours a day, as confusing as I can make that sound. But that was in October, and our nation at that time was in a crisis, and we were facing what could potentially have been who knows what with this election. And things weren't looking so good, and it was The sixth night. I went back to it last night, and I wrote it down word for word. The sixth night, after the 3 hours, it was about 3 hours and 30 minutes into their prayer time, there was a tongues interpretation that came forth. And it said, "You have prayed, and I have answered. You have spoken and you have commanded in my name, and I have manifested my spirit and my presence. Yea, saith the Lord, I have raised you up as a mighty army, and you shall go forth in this earth, and there shall be great revival. There shall be great harvest, and I, the Lord God, will do the miraculous in this end time, because you have called a solemn assembly in my name. That was the evening of October 27th. At that time, there was over 2,000 churches that were following along with members in other churches. Like I know there was members in this church that were following along in that prayer time. October 27th, October 28th, James Comey came out with that letter saying he had reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton. And the rest, as we know, is history. It's the power of corporate prayer and fasting. And in this case, the spirit of the Antichrist was driven back, and we've been given a time and a little bit of space. And it's a God-ordained thing, and it came through prayer, and it came through fasting. It's the power of prayer and fasting. It's humbling ourselves before God, and that's what really it is all about. And saying, God, I don't know what to do, or I want to be in alignment with you. And that's the basis of what we're going to be talking about here this morning. We know that God, from the very beginning, God created fruit of the land and the food for our enjoyment, all the different flavors, textures, everything. God has given that as a gift to us. In fact, he created the fruit of the land and then Adam. And so he had already set up what we would enjoy as food before we were even created. And we know in the Garden of Eden also, because we are both physical and spiritual, that God had made a place for Adam and Eve to feed themselves both physically and spiritually. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And plus, every evening or in the cool of the day, Jesus would walk with Adam and Eve and talk with them, strengthening their spiritual man. And we know as soon as they partook of that tree of life, of the knowledge of good and evil, that the spiritual man died, and that they were removed from the Garden of Eden, so they could not partake of the tree of life any longer. But thankfully, today we have access to that same tree of life. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. The gift of God being his spirit, the gift of God being repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. And so we see in Scripture that God has given that as a blessing for us. Food is a blessing. God provided man in the wilderness, which is also a type and shadow of our daily experience and our spiritual manna, being the Holy Ghost and the availability we have to partake of that every single day also, and the necessity of it every single day. Every single day. The promised land is described as a land flowing with milk and honey. So we know that food was given and designed for us to enjoy. And so when we choose to fast, then we are stepping aside from that blessing. We are choosing to not partake of the blessings of God in order to strengthen our spiritual man. We see also the feast days. In feast days of worship, they would fast, and they would also enjoy feasts and the blessings of God through that. Pastor Glover.
All right, now, when we consider the fast, that's not something we jump on, at least as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to. We're fasting this week, Brother Sam. Praise God. I mean, I might say that, but my feeling would be, oh, I'm going to miss some meals. My stomach's going to growl. My head's going to ache. But when God ordains it, when God provides it, when God designates it, it just seems like the prayer time comes much simpler, the work gets accomplished, and the presence of the Lord leads us and strengthens us, and I'm thankful for that. Now, what's the difference? Do we wait each time for the Lord to say, okay, it's time to fast, I need for you to fast? Or do we discipline ourselves? And that's what the title is, the discipline of fasting. Do we discipline ourselves on a weekly basis or monthly basis, whatever it might be, to be ready for an extended fast? 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, a week, whatever it might be. That's the part that we've got to move into, the discipline aspect, and say, I'm ready to pray, I'm ready to fast, and thank God that His power can be there for us. Now, let's just list some of the fasts that we're aware of in Scripture. Just some of the ones that you know of in the Word of God. What fasts are there? Brother Cliff? Okay. And actually, that was several individuals that did that, right? Moses, one of the first that we are aware of. And now, here again, that would be something I think it would be quite supernatural, the hand of the Lord and the direction of God. What others have participated in fasts? Who else in Scripture? Daniel and... how many days? 21 days. And before that, the 10 days, when he said, just give us vegetable juice to drink, let everybody else have the roasts and meats and delicacies of the king's table, and we'll just have vegetable juice. And after those 10 days, they were found to be 10 times better. Interesting how they designated that, but I don't know how they would have measured it. But it must have been quite significant that they had more energy, they had more ability, their appearance looked better, and so on. And that's where we get Daniel's fast, where you leave out certain things, certain favorites, and there are people who go on media fasts. You guys ever do that? They do that at Bible school? Put you on a media fast? You can't go on social media? For a lot of people, that would be a significant sacrifice, wouldn't it? Not going to be on Facebook, not going to be on Twitter, not going to send emails, just I'm offline for a week or whatever. That can be pretty disruptive in some ways, but the fast is there. Okay, who else? Who else was involved in a fast in Scripture? Brother Steve? Right. After Jonah's preaching to them, and their realization, oh boy, we are about to be destroyed. And even the animals fasted. That's a pretty strong repentance. And that's the power of the Word of God. But now, we recognize there was a drastic change desired. And that's why the fast was called for. And now, that's a heathen nation. That's a horrible nation, Nineveh, as you point out. That's why Jonah didn't want to go and preach to them. He wanted God's judgment to fall on them. That's why he went another direction when the Spirit of God said, go and preach. And it made a huge change, and not too positive a change for Jonah. He was aggravated about the whole thing, aggravated about the sun beating down on him. God raised up that plant, and then the plant withered and died, and he just has all kinds of complaints. And one preacher pointed out, what a revival he had with a bad attitude. What if he had had a good attitude? What a tremendous revival would have come forth as well. But these examples of fasts, coupled with prayer, show how God can intervene, how God can minister. Now, the key verse, if you put the key verse back up again, here in Acts 13, they fasted and prayed. And the reason they did this is because they recognized how essential the work of God was for those individuals. Could you put the Acts 13 up again? Thanks. The setting of Acts 13 is the recognition that they had a responsibility. They had a need. They recognized it's too big for us. We are not able to accomplish this in our own capacities, our own abilities. And so they fasted and prayed. And then the laying on of hands was not for illness, not for sickness, but it was an impartation of anointing. Now, if we had Brother and Sister French here today, Brother and Sister French, incredible missionaries to Alaska for many, many years. Several areas, they raised up churches, and there was nothing instant. There was nothing automatic. They dug those churches out of rock, and it was very, very difficult. And the burden they had kept them at it with prayer and fasting. If we had them here and they could lay their hands on us and pray for us, that would be quite a blessing. What they would be imparting, however, is not their burden, not their anointing, simply their desire. We have to seek God for the burden and for the anointing. And that's where fasting then comes on our shoulders. Because we're turning aside from just our own abilities and relying upon God. Now, that's not eliminating the opportunities that we have. Brother Mike mentioned how we have a window of opportunity now. And that there was, really, there was divine intervention. Not to politicize anything, but I believe there was divine intervention with the way the election turned out. And that gives us a window of opportunity for us to do the work that we need to do. Now, we take advantage of that. We have rights, we have privileges, we have responsibilities. And as Americans, we send missionaries overseas. And that whole aspect there, I think, is real important for us to recognize. We have a short window. Who knows how things are going to change? Just this week, the the shots fired at congressmen. And had there been no police presence and no deterrent, we would be today without several congressmen. It's scary. It's a very scary situation. And so that's where prayer and fasting become powerful and become effective, because we're not able to do it in ourselves. But we use the opportunities that God provides for us. Remember when Paul had been, they were about to scourge him, and Silas, I think, was with him. They had already been through some of that treatment, and he asked them, "Is it lawful for you to whip a Roman?" And the captain said, "Are you a Roman?" He said, "Cost me a lot of money to purchase that privilege." And Paul said, "I was freeborn." So then that changed the whole picture on the persecution that was coming their way. I think it's incumbent upon us to use every opportunity, every aspect that we can. And thank God America offers a lot of them. And I'm very, very, very thankful. I think if we were to ask Sister Belinda the differences, the Philippines is a great ally, and a lot of similarities as far as government. But as far as freedom goes, as far as opportunity, America is blessed. Okay? We take that for granted. And the Christian community, if I can refer to it that way, needs to wake up to that opportunity and put everything they can towards it, including fasting. And the reason for that is because there's a focus upon the things that that the Lord would provide for us. Let's put up on the screen Isaiah 58. And let's see here. I don't need for you to do the whole thing. Let's put up verse 5. And then we'll go to verse 6. The fast that the Lord has chosen. That's where you you fast as a discipline, and then you fast as the Lord directs you. The fast that the Lord has chosen. A day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down the head as a bulrush, and so on. Sackcloth and ashes. There's poor old Job. And all that he's gone through, and the fasting, no doubt, that he forced upon himself, the terrible problems and difficulties that were there for him to experience. Again, fasting being somewhat of a negative thing. But here's the positives in verse 6. Again, the Lord saying, "I have chosen." Is it the fast that I have chosen? And here's the power of that fasting, to loose the bands of wickedness. It breaks bondage. It breaks the yoke. And thank God we can be a part of that, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. That's why we seek the Lord in prayer. And then when he puts a burden for a fast on you, then that's the way you go. Now, a fast is when you want something so bad that you're willing to focus on that one thing completely, to the even the exclusion of food. And Ahab is an example of that in a negative way. Remember Ahab wanting the lands that were next to his palace that belonged to who? Naboth. I get Naboth and Nabal mixed up sometimes. Naboth. He offered. He wanted to trade. He'd pay him top dollar. Naboth said, no, that's my inheritance. Can't do it. He was following scripture. What did Ahab do? Ahab went to his bed, turned his face to the wall, and he wouldn't even eat. He wanted that property so bad that that's the way he behaved. Now, that's a negative example of a fast. A positive example would be you want your loved one saved so bad that you'll skip a few meals. You want revival among your fellow workers and friends so bad you'll push back from the plate a few times. See, there's that focus. There's that desire. And the Lord said, if it's the fast that I have chosen, there will be a lifting of burdens, the oppressed will go free, and the yokes will be broken. And believe me, there are an increasing number. And those in the medical field, again, if we were to have Sister Belinda testify about yokes that people are laboring under, using the old example of oxen or donkeys and their yoke attached to them as beasts of burden. There are people today who are under those kinds of yokes of addictions and afflictions and problems. And those yokes need to be broken. And God, let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:14. This one's probably a familiar passage too in terms of prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, or 2 Chronicles 7:14, will humble themselves. And that humility is necessary to be able to reach for, you know, that higher ground. And the psalmist would pray, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that power, that blessing that the Lord would give us. That humility and recognition, Lord, we're depending on you. And then for the Lord to say, I will heal and heal their land. That sounds kind of odd. Why does land need healing? Our hearts need healing. Our bodies need healing. Our minds need healing. Our spirits need healing. What's this idea of land? Well, here again, God is wanting to impact our world so strongly that there would be his hand in the aspects of government and society and the situations that we see in place today. And I believe he can do that. And, oh my, look at that. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wicked ways? We're God's people. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you mean, wicked ways? Well, when we come back to Scripture and we read what Corinthians says, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and we understand who my doubts and unbelief can hinder the work of God to the point where there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be problems. And so I turn from those things, and I seek his face, I call on his name, and he promises then to do an incredible work. Now, with that, together with fasting, unleashes incredible power. We don't feel that power. We feel weak. We feel a headache. We feel miserable. But here's what we're doing. We're saying, God, it's not us. God, it's not going to be our ability. God, it's not going to be what we do. Lord, it's entirely up to you. It's in your hands. And we want your power. We want your anointing. We want your strength and ability. And our weakness is underscored and underlined by the fact that we fast and do without food, and we want the Lord to demonstrate his power on our behalf. Praise God, and he does. You follow the record from Acts 13 on into the demonstration of the miraculous and the healing and the power and the strength and the blessing. Praise God, it's incredible what the Lord would do, and on through to Acts 28 and on through to 2017, because God would demonstrate his power and he would show his strength and his goodness. Praise God. And I believe, and Brother Mike made mention of the tongues and interpretation that was given there at the 21-day fast. I think God can speak to you individually. Amen. In your circumstances, in your situation. Thank God he can speak to the church, but I believe he can speak to you individually and let you know that he's going to work on your behalf, that he's going to provide and the blessings that he would give forth, and the strength that he would make known. Praise God. I remember Brother Billy Cole, a veteran missionary to Thailand, and then an international evangelist who traveled to many different fields and had incredible outpourings of the Holy Ghost. I remember him saying, we fast and pray, and then we feast and believe. Praise God. When the Lord is giving the blessing, when the Lord is pouring out, that's not the time to fast and mourn. That's not the time to be down and so on. Praise God. Fast and pray, feast and believe. And the Lord demonstrates his power in those aspects. And Brother Cole had incredible results, even though, to hear him tell, he's passed away now, but to hear him tell of his beginnings in Thailand is humorous, comical. Very small people in that nation. And Brother Cole was about as wide as he was tall, and called for a taxi from the airport, and it pulled up, and he started chuckling and wondering to himself, do I put it on and wear it? How do I get in? And when he attempted to get in, the seat of his britches couldn't stand the strain, and he tells about how, you know, this was his introduction to the country. And then going to get permission for having services and entering into the official's office, and protocol required them to have you seated. He turned around in the waiting room, and not going to happen. No chair could hold him. He couldn't fit in the chair. And the official said, please sit down. Brother Cole said, I can't sit down. The official said, you must sit down. He said, I can't. that whole breach of protocol caused him to have whatever he needed. The official signed whatever documents he required just to get him out of the office where he couldn't sit down. Now, was there fasting and prayer before those situations? Oh, yeah. They fasted and prayed. And God took it in his hands to answer in a kind of a comical way. But look at the doors that were opened in Thailand, the doors that have been opened Oh my, and so many other places. God desires to continue to do that. And thank God the church will continue to discipline themselves in prayer and reaching for the things of God. Amen. And we're going to keep praying. Praise God. Brother Steve needs our prayers. The Wades need our prayers. And there are so many that are ongoing healings. Here we are, a church that believes in healing. Amen. And there are so many needs that have been going on now for months. What's going on here anyway? Well, we'll just keep believing. And we'll keep praying. We'll keep fasting. And God's going to do that work. Praise God. And we're not going to stop praying. Youth camp coming up next weekend, next Friday. And we'll believe the Lord for his special hand.